They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Global markets drop as Italy sees the largest coronavirus outbreak outside Asia. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. With an infection count above 150 and at least 4 deaths, Italy has imposed strict quarantines across 10 northern towns. Major events, including the Venice Carnival, have been canceled, and people in affected areas have been told to stay home. The BBC's Bethany Bell is on the edge of the exclusion zone in northern Lombardy region. She explains what the mood is like.
People here are extremely nervous. Cafes and other businesses have all been closed by the authorities. In supermarkets, you see empty shelves. People have been stockpiling. And the BBC did actually speak to people inside the exclusion zone by telephone, and they say they're nervous about food supplies running out. So a real sense here of insecurity, really. People not knowing how long this is going to go on for.
Well, concerns are also mounting about the potential economic impact of coronavirus in Europe. We'll check today's market reaction, but first, Nicola Bori is an Italian economist at Lewis Business School. He explains how important the northern Italian region is to the country's economy.
The regions that are affected are the heart of the economic and industrial world in Italy. This region account more or less from 30% to 40% of the Italian annual GDP. So these are the towns where most of the industrial production in Italy takes place. And these are also the towns and cities where the firms that are more connected with the world economy operate. So these are towns where firms do a lot of imports and exports. And on top of that, Milano is also the financial center in Italy.
Now, the Italian economy is already on the brink of recession. Could this coronavirus outbreak push it over the edge? And if so, what kind of spillover could that have in the eurozone?
In 2020, it is estimated that the Italian GDP would grow 0.3%. So this is already a low number. And this morning, the governor of the Italian Central Bank estimated that the coronavirus could lower GDP by 0.2, so basically bring it to zero growth rate in Italy. So this is serious. Italy is an economy that is already weak with a large public debt. So these are all negative signs. So of course, if this outbreak is contained and in the next, say, weeks, the impact would be limited. If the situation instead would escalate, the consequences could be very serious.
Over the weekend, Nicola, G20 finance ministers met to discuss their response to the coronavirus outbreak. They said they're ready to take action if COVID-19 hits the global economy. What could those measures look like, and when could we see them go into effect?
It's important to have coordinated the response. They go from controlling and managing movement of people and goods across borders, but also supporting economically, also with doctors and medicines, the countries that are more involved. Just to give you an example, in Italy, it's very difficult right now in the cities most affected for normal people to buy masks to prevent contagion. So even these basic supplies are difficult to find, and I think it will be important to have coordination and help from countries of the G20.
Nicola Bori, Italian economist at Lewis Business School. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Italy's main stock index is plunging more than 4% today as worries about the spread of COVID-19 have sparked a sell-off in global markets. European benchmarks have all tumbled at least 3.5%. Asia shares were slightly lower, and China canceled its annual People's Congress for March 5th. The Korea Composite Stock Price Index dropped 3.8% today after South Korea reported 161 new cases of coronavirus a day after the government raised its infectious disease alert to the highest level. As investors look for safe havens, the price of gold is at its highest level since 2013. The S&P 500 is set for at least a 2.6% drop at the opening bell on Wall Street. To India now, where President Donald Trump made an appearance with Prime Minister Narendra Modi in his home state of Gujarat. The extravagant show at a new cricket stadium, thought to now be the world's biggest, is said to have cost more than $10 million. Here's what the U.S. president told the crowd just about an hour ago.
The First Lady and I have just traveled 8,000 miles around the globe to deliver a message to every citizen across this nation America loves India. America respects India. And America will always be faithful and loyal friends to the Indian people.
Trump and Modi are trying to work out a deal to settle a long-simmering trade dispute. The BBC's Aranade Mukherjee has more from Ahmedabad, where the rally was held.
It was important for both leaders to put up a united front when they came in front of that crowd of 100,000. There was a reference that Donald Trump made to that sticky issue of the trade deal, saying Prime Minister Modi is a hard negotiator, but also he expressed hope that things would improve and they could be looking at a massive trade deal at some point in the near future. So he left the window open for something big, but when we spoke to experts, they said this is hardly anything concrete.
So is there a sense from those experts when a new trade deal could come and maybe what's on the table?
We were supposed to see a trade deal ahead of President Donald Trump's visit to India, but that did not happen because there were still several points that both countries did not agree to, and that's exactly why you saw the U.S. Special Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer refusing to be part of this delegation. That in itself was a big message. There are outstanding issues which both countries are facing, and many analysts say that it could take a long time because they don't agree on very basic issues. Also, some people point out something very ironic, that Prime Minister Narendra Modi's policies are India first. It mirrors Donald Trump's own policies of America first. So essentially, these are both these leaders who are looking at protectionist regimes as far as the economy is concerned, and that's exactly why they're not able to cover any common ground, because of their own respective views and because their respective views match so significantly.
The BBC's Aranade Mukherjee in Ahmedabad. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.